Return to God's word. Let's praise the one who is ever-present everywhere. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to sing your word, whether we sing it live, as it were, with the band accompanying us and leading us, or whether we can appreciate what we've just seen. Lord, may our hearts be attuned to the God who is good, the God who has given everything, life and breath, the God who has made all things for his glory. Oh, Father, we give you praise, and we pray that this morning our hearts might be exalted, we might have go away from this place more intent on praising you throughout not just this day as we reflect on you, but throughout the coming week, to praise and honour your name before one another and before even those who don't yet know you, that the glory might go to you, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. What are we doing when we praise the Lord? We're acknowledging his worth. We're acknowledging that it's the Lord who is worthy of praise, his goodness, his mercy, his justice, both who he is and what he has done. But actually, if you think about it, the phrase is actually a command, isn't it? It's an exhortation. Praise the Lord. If we do, we praise him ourselves, but we say to each other, and the psalmist is saying to so many things in the world, bring praise to the Lord, praise his name. Sorry, I've lost. This pulpit's too small, Wilson. Praise the Lord. So who should praise the Lord? Psalm 48 is an exhortation. It says to 9 times, it says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's an exhortation to others to join in. When we sing together, gathering as God's people, encouraging one another, I love, don't you, when you're singing and you hear somebody around you also singing, you can hear their voices, you think that's just wonderful because they're loving the Lord like I am. And he's working in their hearts to sing them out. I enjoy it particularly because I can't sing and others can, but it's exhortation to join in, we all creation. So as we look at this psalm, we see no one and no thing is exempt. Yet as God's special people, we have special reason to praise the Lord, as this psalm itself, we'll see, indicates. It's clear that everything in all creation has reason to praise him. So it's exuberant, it's all embracing the God of creation, our magnificent God. So join with me, join with the psalmist as we listen to the psalm. And breaks into 2 main parts and then one little bit at the end, which is so important. Everything in the heavens is to praise him and the reason given. Then everything on the earth is to praise him and the reason given. Then there's a pointer to the only one, the one that only his special people can praise. So let's have a look at the Lord of the heavens. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him. See how much this comes closer and closer. It starts where God is and moves us down to the earth. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. I suggest that biblically, there are three heavens. Paul said, gave us this, didn't he, when he said, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago got up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things that no one is permitted to tell. The third heaven. All his angels, all his heavenly hosts. And then we have what to us is the infinite universe, where the sun and the stars and the moon lie. We just know it's bigger and bigger the more we look at it. It's awesome. And then the last bit, if you like, the atmosphere where we are, the waters, the clouds above the skies. God is God of all those things, and all those things should bring him praise. And why? Verse 5 and 6. Let them praise the Lord, the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them to last forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Why are we to praise? Or how are we to praise it? We can think of the angels, can't we? You can think, well, the angels can praise the Lord because they can express it in words. And that's not a problem, as they do indeed in Revelation. We have of those words in Revelation 4. Your word, well, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and is to come. And you're worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. That's what the heavenly creatures are singing. They can sing praises to God. We can understand that. But the stars, well, we read Psalm 19, didn't we? The heavens declare the glory of God. Their voice goes out into all the earth. They praise God simply by being, by existing. For at his command they were created. But they also illustrate something of God's nature. In Romans, Paul says that since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. So God's qualities, what God is like, is expressed in creation. I remember years ago when I first looked around one of these underwater things, and I was the only student at the time in Brighton, and there was this penguin just standing there on some ice, and suddenly went flop, just like that. I thought, God's got a sense of humour, isn't he? I mean, just look at things like that. It's God is expressing God. So let's pick on one of these things. How can the sun praise him? The sun speaks of God, doesn't it? Something of his character. It speaks of God is light and provides warmth and life to all. You can't see light and we can't see God. He's invisible. But like the sun, you need it. You need God to see everything else. God is invisible, yet we see what he reveals. He constantly gives light and warmth and heat to everyone on earth. And the sun speaks of his glory in doing that. For those of you who've maybe read this a bit before and wondered, and he established them to last forever and ever, verse 6, and he issued a decree that shall never pass away. If you're like me, you think, how does that fit with the new creation? Well, I suggest the answer is fairly simple, really, because if you look at the words that Peter uses when he talks about the end of all things and being burnt up, the word he uses is renewed, not just completely done away with, but a renewed heaven and earth. Like with Noah's day, it's still the same earth. It was completely reconfigured in the flood, but it's the same earth. It's the same for us, isn't it? When we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're made new creatures, we're actually still the same person, but we're made new. And so he issued a decree that will never pass away. We are the new creation, will last forever. So what should our response be? Stand in awe and worship of the God of all creation. Because I think there's a couple of other things missing, but don't worry. It's the technology. I've wasted enough time on technology already this week. The God of the finite, the God of the everyday, as well as the God of the infinite. So let's praise him in wonder and awe at his majesty and his greatness. Let's acknowledge and give God the glory. You see, there are those in the world who are desperate not to give God the glory. Romans, we mentioned it once, I'll put it up again. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. Why? Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. People are desperate to give the glory and honor anywhere apart from God. You can look at a beautiful sunset, and people who don't want to acknowledge God just say, well, it just happens to be the happy combination in your brain that makes you feel good about it. Let us make sure we give God the glory for all these things. As we saw with the ostrich, you know, there are all sorts of explanations why it's like it is. But it's like it is ultimately because God made it that way. So let's give God the glory. Let's praise him. Stand in awe and worship the God of the infinite. Next one. Praise the Lord from the earth. The first four verses were sort of reasonably well-paced and giving a sense of awe and majesty and wonder. But this is more exuberant. I'm going to read a few verses from Job. A few more verses. And the very end verse, it talks about the angels. And so God says to Job, who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footing set? Or who laid its cornerstone? And then get this, verse 7. While the morning stars sang together, and all the angels shouted with joy. Do you have this image? The angels watching God creating the earth and going, yes, it's wonderful. It's exuberant. It's joyful. And I think that's a helpful way to read these verses, where it's had praise him and praise him and praise him in a measured manner in the first bit. This one is almost, it's just abundance, isn't it? Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. Don't you get the excitement? We look at God's creation, and the psalmist is overjoyed by it. He can't stop to take breath. If we want to be analytical, I think we can say that the first couple of lines is, praise the Lord from the earth, great sea creatures and ocean depths, the God of the secret things, the lightning and hail, the snow and clouds, the stormy winds that do his bidding, the God of providence, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, the God of provision, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, the God of abundance. Kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, the God of authority, young men and women, old men and children, God of everyone. Is there anything left? Is there anything in creation that shouldn't praise the Lord? Everything has to praise the Lord, has reason to it. I think we've got to feel the scriptures sometimes, not just look at the words. Everyone, no one is excluded. So again, we looked at the sun in the first bit. Let's just look at one thing in the second bit. Did it strike you? Stormy winds that do his bidding. That's very relevant, isn't it? We've had a few stormy winds. On a personal level, we had a felt roof on Joyce's cabin in the garden that started rolling up and like a carpet, and had to batten it down. It's a reason to praise the Lord. There's a reason to praise the Lord, it wasn't worse. There's a reason to praise the Lord because it happened, because he's got his purposes. And we thank him for it. But think biblically, stormy winds that do his bidding. Think of Jonah, the storm that wrecked the ship because God was going to have his way and Jonah wasn't going to react against him and run away. And because of that stormy wind and that loss to the ship, the people in Nineveh actually heard the gospel to repent. And the people on the ship, it says they worship the Lord. So without that stormy wind and destruction, there's loads of people that because of it came to know him. Or Paul, his shipwreck. The people on Malta heard the gospel because the ship was wrecked in Malta. Or of course Jesus, stormy winds that do his bidding. He was in the Sea of Galilee in a very big storm. But his bidding was, peace, be still. And the calmness came upon the storm. So we see in everything, all these things, everything, there's a reason to praise the Lord. They all bring glory to his name. So we noted in the first part that it goes, if it's aware, from the highest heaven down to the clouds, and it goes from the sea up to the highest height where those who, again, can praise the Lord verbally, kings of the earth and all nations, young men and young women. So what's our response? Let's rejoice. Let's enjoy the physical creation. Everything exists to bring God glory. Let's encourage others, because the psalm says, praise the Lord, and that's the message to others. So let us encourage others to praise the Lord and bring glory to our Creator. Everything, animal, vegetable, mineral, as well as spiritual. Let's imbibe, let's reflect upon, let's just let it sink into our hearts that everything we look at, we can give praise to God because of it. I know, because of our sin and because of our weakness, you know, it's possible, isn't it? I've done it, certainly. We might sing, praise my soul, the King of Heaven. Let's sing it. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven, to his feet thy tribute bring. Let's feel the worship in our hearts. And another example, what's our attitude? Why do we give thanks? Why do we say grace? At school, I was old enough to be, when I was at school, we still said grace, and the standard grace was, for what we are about to receive, may the Lord make us truly thankful. And that's a good prayer, actually, because in this part of the world, we can forget to give thanks. And we go through the motion of thanking God, but do we really recognize that bread on our table, that roast dinner you're going to go home to, that tin of soup you're going to open, actually people in Ukraine, in Afghanistan, in other places, they're not going to have it. Are we truly grateful? Do we truly give him praise from our heart? Praise the Lord from the earth, because his name alone is exalted above the earth and the heavens. He is creator. He's above the earth and the heavens. Although the earth and heavens are infinite from our point of view, he is above them. He's outside creation. He is the creator. And what we have up to here so far is a call to all creation, from the highest heaven to the deepest ocean, from the rocks and clouds to all living things. We can and must join in that song of praise. All creation, those whether you believers or non-believers, the exhortation is to praise God as creator. But we need to go beyond that. I think this passage, let's just read those verses. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens, and he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Where does that point us? Well, those of you who are savvy with the Toy Story, the film about animated toys, what's the famous message for Buzz Lightyear? What did he say? Thank you. To infinity and beyond. That's a good phrase to remember what we're looking at here. Because for us, the whole of creation is infinite. But God isn't restricted to infinity. Well, humanly speaking, it's nonsense, isn't it? Because if you get to infinity and beyond it, then that's just more infinity. But actually, this is something completely different. It's a different category. It's not part of the created order, because he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of his faithful servants. Who is that? What is the horn? Right, the horn. I'm suggesting if we look biblically, what is the horn? There are all sorts of pictures in your mind of what the horn might be. But let's see what biblically it is. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Here I will make a horn grow for David and set up a lamp for my anointed one. And in the New Testament, speaking of our Saviour, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies. Lord. The horn. For the Old Testament saints, of course, they would probably have looked at this, and it speaks of Israel, the people close to his heart, because that was where God's people were identified at the time. And the horn would have been the king in David's line. But I suspect the spiritual and the godly Jews of old realized it pointed forward even beyond David's king.